As I said at the beginning of the service, it was very good to have the first of three Lenten conversations after church last Sunday. We closed our session with a blessing written by Kate Bowler and Jessica Ritchie called A Blessing for Stretching Your Heart. In this blessing for stretching your heart, it says this: God, my life has too many things, awful, lovely, full, shockingly incomplete. Will you help me learn to live with a greater capacity for this? Living in the tension between a life that has worked out and one that has gone to hell in every handbasket. Let today be a divine exercise of yes and. Our gospel passage this morning acknowledges that life has, as this blessing says, too many things. Life is awful, lovely, full, and shockingly incomplete all at once. We are invited to acknowledge it all and to acknowledge potential and possibility. We are invited to live each day saying yes and believing that nothing is impossible with God. Our gospel passage invites us to think about suffering, about repentance, and about fruitfulness with this parable of the fig tree. It invites us to think about the difficult parts of life and about the potential and possibility that is right there, too. This passage begins with questions. Is suffering punishment for sinfulness? Jesus answers unequivocally, no. But then he goes on to say, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Repent. This is a loaded word for many of us, triggering. We grimace as we recall fear-based teaching, where repent means to stop being bad and try to be good, where repentance means to grovel at the feet of a divine scorekeeper, desperate to find a way to make up for our inadequacies, our impiety, for all the things we're not, racking up points of obedience to be cashed in for blessings, for salvation. Returning to the Greek word for what is translated as repent, metanoia, helps a bit. This word means change of mind, reorientation, transformation of outlook, a new way. I've often thought of this change of mind, this reorientation, as turning back to God, as a course correction, a realigning with God, with the Spirit. Gregory Boyle, I've mentioned him before. He's the founder of Homeboy Industries, the largest gang rehabilitation program in the world. Gregory Boyle speaks of repentance as moving beyond the mind you have. He says it's not about doing good and avoiding evil, but rather about seeing things differently, embracing the mystical view, seeing as God does. Repentance is about recognizing the goodness that has been in us all along, and choosing to live out of that goodness. What if repentance? What if moving beyond the mind you have is really about stretching our hearts the way this blessing says? What if repentance is about increasing our capacity to live in the tension of life, life that is both terrible and wonderful? What if repentance is about learning, seeing, believing that life isn't either or, either good or bad, and that we, in our humanity, aren't either or? It's not either or. But we do have choices. Choices, contemplation, holding seeming opposites, wrestling with issues in ourselves and in the world. These things stretch us. They stretch our hearts. What if repentance is choosing to remember, to recognize the good, the love in ourselves and in others? What if repentance is recognizing that God is at work in the world, in everything, and that God is inviting us to join in that mission, to join in that work? What if repentance means resolving to join in that work, that mission of healing and wholeness, of connection and relationship, that mission of love? Our passage from Isaiah invites us to recognize God's abundant love and grace. We heard this verse: "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Sometimes this is translated as, "Seek the Lord since he may be found." What a difference this makes. Not while God may be found, as though God is going away in a while, but since God is always there. We hear about abundant pardon and grace freely given. Knowledge of this pardon and grace helps us to breathe through the trials of life, through our mistakes and missteps. This pardon, this abundant grace, lets us say, yes, things have gone wrong, and there is always the potential and possibility for it to be different. These trials and mistakes and missteps stretch us, and they stretch our hearts, increasing our capacity for all of life. Abundant grace stretches our hearts if we receive it abundantly. With abundant grace, our capacity to face the hard parts of life increases, and so does our capacity for love. As well as suffering, sin, and repentance, our gospel passage also brings us the story of the fig tree. When faced with a fig tree that seems to take and take, wasting soil, the owner wants to cut it out. How much of our world do we want to cut out? I could go on and on about what I would like to cut out of our world, what I'd like to just get rid of. That's not what the gardener says when faced with the barren fig tree, though. The gardener says, "Don't cut it out. Wait, and see if I can use this manure to bring forth fruit." That's what God says about our world. God says, wait. God says, see if you, and yes, it's you and me, it's all of humanity. For we are, as Teresa of Avila says, we are God's only hands, feet, eyes, and body in the world. God says, see if you can use this waste, this manure, for good, for love. Jesus didn't cut down anything as he made his way to Jerusalem, to the cross. He allowed himself to be cut down. He allowed the sinfulness and brokenness of the world to stretch him until it broke him, his heart, his body. And then, out of the apparent waste of his suffering and death, came the blessed fruit of the resurrection. Resurrection, suffering and death, composted, and from that comes forth love and fruitfulness and flourishing. As followers of Jesus, we are to allow our hearts to be stretched by the compost, the waste in this life, and to trust that with God, goodness and love and fruitfulness can come out of it. We are to trust that love is stronger than anything, and that God is working for love always, inviting us to join in. The passage we heard from the letter to the Corinthians offers us a verse that resembles the "God won't give you more than you can handle" adage that is sometimes offered when sorrow strikes. Context is everything here. Paul is a pastor for those tempted to indulge in pagan feasts. Paul is assuring the Corinthians that God will give them the strength to resist going to these feasts and will provide them with an out. This is an important reminder about Scripture. Yes, there is living word in it for us today, but not all of it can be applied in an overarching way. Walter Brueggemann reminds us that reading the Bible with reference to contemporary issues is tricky. Acknowledging this stretches us. It's not about reducing things to absolutes. It's not about making the Bible an echo of what we were thinking anyway. It's about making room for a diversity of perspectives and possibilities. This stretches us in both heart and mind. The end of that blessing for stretching your heart. Make me capable of great joy, great love, great risk, even fear, as you expand my heart with this yes and today. May we all move in great joy, great love, great risk. May we find our hearts stretching, even in fear. And may our hearts expand with yes and today and all our days. In Jesus' name. Amen.